I am a part of his body. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I have been given a spirit of power, love, and discipline. I choose to believe his dream. What happened? I trust in him. I am who God meant me to be.
We're beginning a new series this weekend, and we're glad you could be here for that. If you're a guest tonight or a member, please take just a moment, some time, and fill out the connection card. It's a perforated card in your programs. We have a team of people who pray about all the needs of the congregation as you do that, so do that sometime tonight if you would. But we begin a six-week series called 40 Days to a Healthy Life. And it deals with any number of issues in your life and my life. But we're going to start this weekend by talking about a healthy body. Who's excited about this? I see three hands. That's awesome. I'm not either, but we're going to talk about all dimensions of health. And so each of these weeks, you'll apply these to probably the area where you most need to become healthier before God. For some, it is the physical realm. For others, all kinds of other areas. We'll be talking about the components that help us accomplish with God's help being the healthiest people that he can make us to be. Now, when we start to talk about a healthy body, the deal is you already know what the rules are. I mean, you have heard the things we're supposed to do to have healthier bodies. I mean, you know that we are supposed to eat healthy, right? That's over. Underwhelming. That's really funny. It's like eating healthy. We're supposed to eat less. We're supposed to lower the stress. We're supposed to get more rest. And we are supposed to exercise in some kind of way, even just to walk. And so you know that. That's what you have to do to have a healthier body. And the truth is, God has given us a great opportunity here for God to grow us in all the ways he wants to grow us. And we have a tremendous sports and fitness ministry. If you're not aware of it, this is your opportunity to learn about it tonight. After the service, our team will be in the lobby. They're giving tours of the fitness center, sports and fitness center, and ministry area later tonight. So stop and see them. They can inform you about what's involved in that. If it's your first time here, over half of the people who are, quote, members of the sports and fitness facility are not a part of the church. It's designed to be that way. So it's open to any person that's here, anybody that you know. So find out more about that. Get a tour of the facility. And so they can talk to you. And we have lots of classes and options to help you become healthier physically. We're going to focus on the pieces that help us become healthier in whatever area you most need to improve your health. All right? And so tonight is going to kind of be the motivation. The motivation is absolutely the key. I mean, you know how this thing works in regard to New Year's resolutions. Who made New Year's resolutions? Just you raise your hand. Come on, see your. I know you're wimping out on me. Who made some New Year's resolutions, and who has already dropped the ball? Okay. See, what we learned is willpower gets you about 3 weeks. So typically, a sports and fitness area is jammed in January. But come February 1st, over. It's just hard to stay with it, really is. And so that is why the motivation really is the key to any area that we want to grow in our health. But I also want to set you up to succeed. You know, when you set up People are afraid to make New Year's resolutions. There weren't many hands that go up because we know why, right? Once you write them down, you're accountable for it. It's like, I don't want to admit that I wrote it down. And so if you failed, it discourages you. So I want to set you up to succeed. And so let me just give you quickly here a little snapshot of some New Year's resolutions that are actually attainable without a lot of work. That sound good? Here they are. Number one, I resolve this year to gain more weight. At least 30 pounds. Write that down next year. Number two, stop exercising. It's a waste of your time. Yeah, right, getting a witness down here. Number three, procrastinate more. Start tomorrow. Y'all are slow, you're procrastinating, you're laughing even, that's bad, all right. Focus on the faults of other people. Think you can do that? Oh, yeah, I think you can do that. And never make New Year's resolutions.
Okay.
We're not going to talk about New Year's resolutions. We are going to talk about the motivation to lasting change. For these 40 days, we want to, before God, Lord, help me to change in the ways you want me to change. And what are some of the secrets that open up that door for us to be changed as God wants to change us? So your Bibles open to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. We're going to camp out there tonight. You have a sermon notes section to jot down some notes as well. And so let's just try to answer this one big question tonight. Here's the idea tonight, the big one. What does God say about the importance of the physical health? Physical health. So we're going to try to talk about that together. See what the Scripture says to us about this. Let's start in verse 12 of 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I'm allowed to do anything, but not everything is good for you. Food was made for the stomach for food. This is true, though someday God will do away with both of them. But you cannot say that our bodies were made for sexual immorality. They're not going to last forever. They're made for the Lord. And the Lord cares about, though, our bodies, realizing that our bodies are actually parts of Christ. Some of the verses we're going to capture out of this text, but let's just talk tonight about six things that are mentioned right in this particular text about the body, the physical body, not the spiritual body of Christ, but the physical body that you and I have. And these are six things that are countercultural from what you're going to see in commercials tomorrow. Okay? By the way, they have paid $5 million for 30 seconds of your time tomorrow. So they've learned it pays off to talk to you about stuff, but you just sit there and go, they're lying, they're lying. So you'll be ready tomorrow to say when they're lying, when they're telling the truth, okay? Okay? All right, okay, here we go. Here's the first principle. God expects me to manage my body. I'm not the owner of this body. I'm to manage it. I can't blame other people for the use, the misuse, or the abuse of my body. I can't blame anybody else for that. My body is a gift from God on loan. And one day, here's the truth about me and you. I'm going to stand before a holy God one day. He's going to say to me, what did you do? What did you do with the health I gave to you? What did you do with the mind I gave to you? What did you do with the opportunities I gave to you? What did you do with the abilities, the freedom, the wealth? What did you do with the body that I gave you? Number two, my body is God's property. See, in America, again, it's all about it's my body. We hear that all the time. So I can do what I want with my body. Clue phone, your body is not your body. It's God's body. Everything you see in this life was created by God, including your body, and you don't own anything. You don't even own your own body. You don't own your own money. The money you have was somebody else's before you showed up. It's going to be somebody else's when you're gone. Just understand that. We, as well, are God's property. See, we tend to make the same mistakes that the Greeks made in the first century. It's called dualism. Just jot down the word. You can look it up a little if you'd like. A little later, dualism. Back in the days of Aristotle and Socrates and Plato, the Greeks believed you separate the mind from the body. It's almost like good versus evil. That's how they saw it. What matters, they said, was in your mind, your spirit, your soul. That's what matters. Your physical body, it really doesn't matter about that at all. In fact, they devalued the human body. But the Bible drives home the fact that your body is holy. Why? Who made your body? God. If he made your body is holy. So jot down this little phrase. It's easy to remember, okay? God owns your bod. He owns your bod. Don't ever forget that. Key principle. And the Corinthians learned something else. Number three. My body will be resurrected at Jesus' return. Now, some people think when we get to heaven, it's going to be a whole new ball game. We are just going to kind of be floating around from cloud to cloud. People think, I hear this all the time, we become angels in heaven. You're not an angel now. You will never be an angel. Angels are created beings. People are created people. And it will always be that way. So understand that. Now we skip verse 14 intentionally because this drives this home. Look at verse 14. God will raise us from the dead by his power, just as he raised our Lord, I'll insert bodily, from the dead. God says, I'm going to resurrect your body one day. Now you're ahead of me. You're thinking, wait a minute, you mean the decayed body? My body is going to be decaying in the ground, right? Or maybe cremated. God's going to resurrect that body? Yeah, he is going to resurrect your body eventually at the return of Jesus Christ. And when he brings you from the dead, he's going to give you a new, perfected, heavenly body. Thank you for that amen, little child back there. Adults in the room, can I get an oh yeah? You're getting a new body, a whole new ballgame, a heavenly body. Your body matters now, but the one he's going to give at the end, that one is good to go for life. So what's my resurrected body going to be like? You ever asked that question? The people in your life and mine who've gone on, what kind of body will they have or do they have someday? Well, we really, of course, don't know. It's called a mystery. We do know that when Jesus was resurrected, he was seen specifically by 500 people at one time. People heard him teach. They knew that he was alive. His body had some kind of ability to dematerialize. He could actually walk into a room without walking through a door. So he was able to dematerialize in some kind of way. But they recognized him. I think that's at least a clue for us. When we get to heaven, you're going to be recognizable. It's going to be a different kind of body, but you'll still be you. The core of who you are will still be you. And so the point is, if God says our body's eternally going to matter, certainly the bodies we have now are a reflection of that, which we'll talk more about. And that's why I've got to manage my body, because God really owns my body, and eventually my eternal body will be in heaven. And so that leads to the question that I really alluded to earlier. Why do we fail to care for our bodies? Now, again, for some of you, you're on this. Maybe some other area you need to work on caring for. But I think a lot of us struggle with caring for our bodies as Christian people because of dualistic thinking. Let me suggest why. Here's number one. We rely on willpower instead of God's power. As you saw verse 14, it's his power, by his power, he can do what he wants to do. And the willpower thing again, 21 days it'll get you. If you really are strong willpower, 21 days you can do this. You can stay with it. But it's so common that, again, in January, fitness centers are packed. By February, it's all changed because 3 weeks is about how far most people can get based on willpower alone. In about 3 weeks, you're going to start smoking again. That's what the stats tell us. That's just the way it's probably going to happen. Why? Because willpower can get you a little bit of the way home, but it won't really change, ultimately, what has to happen. Willpower is not enough to change you. Because when you're using willpower, your power, to change, what you're doing is, especially your body, you're saying, body, you're going to do this, but your body does not want to do it. And your brain sure doesn't want to do it. So that's why it's a willpower thing. It's a battle in that way, but your days are numbered because in time you're going to get tired of this thing, working so hard at this, and you get tired, and then so you kind of go into autopilot, and then the thing starts to go right back the way you were before. That's why it's a common story for us. Resolutions are great, but by themselves, they do not lead to lasting change. So, whatever your predominant weakness is, are you ready? Do you have in mind your most significant weakness? Do you have it in mind? You're probably going to struggle with that the rest of your life. You probably are. The battle of the flesh. We all struggle in different kinds of ways, not just one area, but this probably is a predominant area. Kind of your besetting sin would be the thing people would describe it as. And so because you're probably going to struggle with this the rest of your life, you better have something more than your own energy to conquer this. You don't have what is necessary in your own energy and willpower to get it done. It will take God's power. We also fail because we have the wrong motivation. We started there. I kind of come back to that again. See, here's the deal, especially physically. If you begin to say, I'm going to take care of my body physically, if the motivation is with you, it's all about you, it won't last you real long. What are you talking about? If you just say, I'm going to get in shape because I want to look good, that's your primary reason. I want to feel good. I want to feel better. I want to live longer. Are those good motivations? Sure. But they will not get it done. Those things, they are not enough to bring about lasting change. It's not a big enough reason. Because again, if my goal is to get to a certain size, when I get to that size, the tendency is I've been fighting with my bit, why will I get to that size? Whew, great. Stop trying. The willpower goes down and you end up back where you were. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Okay. Here's our third problem. We try to change on our own. One alludes to another, but you're not going to change on your own. That is, by yourself, you'll need another person with skin on to get through this. So write down, if you're not in a small group, February 21st. 2 weeks from tomorrow, on Sunday night, we're going to have a Group Connect event. If you are not in a group, please get into a group. You need this to bring about lasting change. You need to be with other people. As some of you are thinking right now, you know what, Steve, God and I can do this, so I don't need to get into a group. That's what some of you are thinking, and you're saying, I can do this if I just focus. Look up here. If you say, I am going to change, the problem is you're not going to change someday, because if you could, you would, but you can't, so you don't. You can't do it on your own. That's why everybody in this place, this church, needs to be in a small group. So please stop at the connection corner after the service and say, hey, help me get connected or sign up to come to the Group Connect event 2 weeks from tomorrow night. Here's another thing that God says about our physical health. Number four, my body is connected to the body of Christ. There's this wonderful description of my physical body, but there's this spiritual description of the church, the body of Christ. As we read in verse 15, our bodies are parts of Christ. But we intentionally skip verse 18 and 19. Look at verse 18. Run from sexual sin. So now we're talking about the physical body. No other sin so dear clearly affects the body as this one does. For sexual immorality is a sin against your own body. Have you thought about that? When you sin in your body, you're just not sinning against other people, maybe, that you've hurt, or God, which is serious, or the body of Christ, of the believers in Christ, you're wounding their body as well. You're hurting yourself big time. Number five, the Holy Spirit lives in my body. Verse 19, don't you realize your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God. Now, throughout history, there's always been this picture of God living someplace, a dwelling, the dwelling place of God. The Old Testament, where did God dwell? The tabernacle. Then it said that God lived over time in the temple in Jerusalem. Today, where does God live? We just read it. Inside of your temple, your body. When you become a believer in Christ, His Spirit comes to live inside your body. You're the temple. Let me ask you a question. If you go walking tomorrow when it's going to almost be 50 degrees, first week of February, how good is God? Isn't that awesome? So you can go walking tomorrow. If you do that tomorrow outside, what if you came upon a temple or a sanctuary of some kind, a worship gathering place, and you saw a bunch of kids vandalizing a house of worship? What would you do? They're writing graffiti on the walls of the temple. What would you do? I think probably you would either try to stop them yourself and tell them, or you'd run and tell the police. They say, that's not right. You don't vandalize a temple. You don't do that. But we do damage to the temple regularly. How do I damage my temple? By what I put into the temple. By the sleep schedule of the temple. By not taking care of the physical body, some measure, I'm wounding the temple of God. Number six, Jesus bought my body on the cross. Verse 20. You do not belong to yourself, for God bought you with a high price. You must honor God with your body. I love the image of Christ on the cross in this sense. When you see Christ on the cross, it's like he says, I love you this much. I love you so much it hurts. I would rather die and go through this pain than not have you with me forever. I love you that much. So he sacrificed his physical body and all the pain that went with that for us. Romans 12:1 puts it this way. I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he's done for you. Now, note in this verse here, it doesn't say give your soul to God. Kind of interesting. Of course, we're supposed to do that. Give your heart to God. It says give your body to God. Why? What's it with the physical body? You understand you cannot serve God in any other way except in your body. Does that make sense? I know you're not sure, so let's talk about it. You can only serve God as you're in your body. You ever hear somebody say, hey, I'm not going to be there. I'm not going to be there physically, but I'll be there in spirit. You ever said that? You know what that means? Absolutely nothing. Good intention. You can only be one place at one time. I know I've tried it. You cannot be more than one place at one time. It's just a fact. You cannot be somewhere you are not. Tomorrow, I'll give you an example. At 9:15 and 11:15 tomorrow morning, I will be speaking in the center. Now, can you keep a secret? Okay. Somebody said no. Leave the room. All right. Can you keep a secret? Here's the deal. I'm going to be teaching in the center tomorrow, but I'm really going to be teaching physically only one place. My body can only be one place. So I'm going to be teaching in the point tomorrow at 9:15, 11:15. But I'll also be teaching in here by the miracle of video teaching. And then the next week, I'll be teaching in here, in my body. This sounds a little weird, doesn't it, the more you talk about it? But I'll be in my body the next week, 9:15 and 11:15, and I'll be teaching via video teaching the next week in the point. And so it's a fact you can only be where you are. You can only serve where physically your body can be. You might have an interest somewhere. You can pray about somebody serving, I suppose. But really, in your body, that's how you do ministry. And so physically, that's why this body thing is a really, really big deal. See, Romans 12, last part of verse 1. So let your bodies be living and holy sacrifices. This is your body. The kind that he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship God. And so just please understand here, taking care of my health is an act of worship. It really is an act of worship. And so next week we're going to talk about healthy worship. Healthy worship. It involves our body, but we're making sacrifices to God, making choices that God will change us. And so the truth is, it comes out of healthy worship. That has to be the motivator. I want to get the series. Why are we doing this series? Good question. When I came out, July, you know, when I'm working on what we're going to do for the next year, I came out and told my wife, we're going to do this 40 days, to a healthy life next year. And there are all kinds of ways in which you can work on this thing. For me, I am going to try to take better care, be more mindful of my physical body in these 6 weeks. And as your pastor who loves you, if that's something you need to do, I want the best for you too. And so we can help each other, not just the physical, but whatever way in which God wants to help you to grow, that's the deal. Now, why would I want you and I to have better physical condition of our bodies? Because God can use us better and longer and more effectively when we care for my body. Does that make sense? Okay. God can use me best because I can do ministry only in my body, then I'm going to be most effective in my body if I surrender that to Him. It's not just, again, if I look good or feel good or live longer. That won't get it done. It's just the healthier we are, the more God can use us. Does that make sense? Okay. Look at Psalm 119, verse 73. You made me, God. You made me. You created me. Now, would you give me the sense to follow your commands? That's pretty strong. God is not an enabler. All right? God is not an enabler. What are you talking about? You may pray for God to work a miracle in your life financially. If you pray for God to do a miracle in your life and family financially, if you're going to continue to overspend, if you're going to continue to get further and further into debt, God is not going to give you a miracle. He's not going to enable you. Does that make sense? This makes us a little nervous here, but I think it's true. If we're just going to go back to doing our own thing within a couple of weeks, God can do this, but He wants us to be bringing our best to the table as well. So let's read this last verse together out loud and read it with conviction, okay? Like you really mean it here. So read it out loud. Here we go. You made me. You created me. Now give me the sense to follow your commands. Let's read the last phrase again and emphasize the word sense like over the moon. You ready? Here we go. Now give me the
sense.
One more time. One more time. Now, go ahead. Now give me the
sense.
That's pretty good. What's wrong with you? Use your sense. I love that, don't you? God's a father. So come on, now you can do this. I've told you what to do, but I'm not going to make you do it. He's a wise parent. He will not enable you, but He will empower you. If I told you, by the way, hey, I have a pill backstage, we're going to give them out at the doors tonight for a small fee. And it's guaranteed to extend your life. And if I were announced this pill is guaranteed to extend your life for a significant period of time, let's be honest, you would be willing to pay for it. I mean, we don't even want to get into how much money Americans spend on pills to help them lose weight. If I say we have a magical pill that's going to help us live forever or a real long time, I know you'd stand in line to get that thing. You just would. The great news is, what I'm talking about now, you don't have to pay for this thing. God has bought back our body. Throughout Scripture, God says, you do this, you have a fulfilled life. We're talking about fulfillment. Do this, I will fulfill the desires of your heart. So again, we know about nutrition, exercise, sleep, and rest. But what's the Bible say about this? Proverbs 3, look at verse 5 and following. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek His will in all you do, and He will show you which path to take. Don't be impressed with your own wisdom. Instead, fear the Lord and turn away from evil. And then you'll have healing for the body, and strength for your bones. Now, this is important for just a reason here. The marrow is created in the bones, right? And so He says there, honor the Lord with your wealth and your bodies, and with your wealth, your generosity, and then with the best part of everything that you produced. And the bottom line is, those passages tell us this. There is a direct correlation and connection between our spiritual health and our physical body. None of us know to what degree, but there is absolutely a connection between the two. The physical health leads to better spiritual health. Financial health leads to better spiritual health. It's just a fact. And so here's the question: why don't we care for our bodies? And what can we do to take better care of our bodies? What can we do? Let me suggest some things and we wrap it up. Number one, trusting God is really good for our health. Do you know that? It's good for your physical health to trust in God. Because here's the deal. When you have a need in your life, one or two things I know. You will either pray about it or you're going to panic over it. Am I right? If something comes up this week and you are just, oh man, what am I going to do? You will either pray to God about it or you will panic about it. It's just the truth. Again, Psalm 116, this time, verse 7. So fill your, let your soul be at rest again, for the Lord has been good to me. Let my soul be at rest, for the Lord has been good to me. So this week the stressor comes, deep breath, relax. God is your God. He will take care of you as you try to honor him. Proverbs 14, verse 30. A peaceful heart. A peaceful heart leads to a what? A healthy. See the connection? Okay. Jealousy is like cancer in the bones. In other words, what you eat is important, but what's more important is what eats you. With me? What you eat is eat matters, but here's the deal. You can eat healthy, you can be fresh, organic, proper proportions, get the books, do that. That's awesome. That's great. But the truth is, if you're resentful while you're doing that, if you're envious, if you're bitter, if you're guilt-ridden because of something in your life, it will eat you up on the inside. It'll eat you up alive. So trusting God also then leads to, number two, confessing sin. If we're honest about this thing, then confess sin. When you confess sin, man, that's good for your health, your physical health. When I swallow my anger, my stomach keeps score. How about you? In other words, if I don't talk to God about it, it's going to have an impact on my body. Psalm 32, powerful psalm. When I refused to confess my sin to God, my body wasted away. I groaned all day long. My strength evaporated. And finally, I confessed all my sins to you, and I stopped trying to hide my guilt. And you forgave me, and my guilt is gone. When you're carrying around a bag of guilt, physically, people can usually tell because you feel it. Confessing your sins to God, man, that is good for your physical health as well as your spiritual walk. Please, every weekend we say, people are here to pray with you. Man, don't keep carrying that sin around. Take it to God. Take it to somebody who just can go with you to the Lord and give it to God. Stop dragging around that load of guilt in your life so you can be a healthier person. Number three, giving generously is good for our health. Throughout Scripture, every time I give, my heart grows bigger. Again, we're back to this physical kind of connection here. Every time I do that, brutally honest, I can learn what your priorities are in about 2 minutes. You know how? It's how you spend your time and how you spend your money. Whatever else you say, the way you and I spend our time and money, that tells me the priorities of my life. And there are more promises in the Scripture about how generosity increases the depth and breadth of our hearts than any other topic. And so the Lord keeps saying, I want you to learn how to be like me. I want you to become a giver rather than a taker. Everything you have is a gift from God. Right now, take a breath. Take a breath. Go ahead. God gave that to you. He gave it to you, every little breath. The next beat of your heart, go like this. You feel it? Is it beating? If it's not, you're not a good thing. Okay. Every beat, it's gone. Every beat. Every time I give generously of my time, with my body, with my talent, with what God's provided for my life, When I give it away instead of keeping and hanging on to that, I'm a healthier person. Have you ever noticed the word miser and miserable come from the same word? Man, that is so true. Misers are miserable people. There are only two kinds of people in the world. You're one or the other. You're a taker or you're a giver? Let me describe a taker. Takers are always, they just tend to be sad and mad a lot. They are. Givers, they tend to be glad. That's just the way it works. One impacts your attitude. It really does. And I love number four. So finally, we get to my favorite part of the sermon. Here we go. Say it out loud. Say it out loud. Who's here for the first time? Okay. You've been warned? All right. We have some fun around here. We laugh a lot. We cry a lot. Why do we do that? Because we've learned God wants us to enjoy life, not just endure it. But the wisest man ever, Solomon, wrote this in Proverbs 17:22. Let's read it out loud together. A cheerful heart is good medicine, but a broken spirit saps a person's strength. Listen, if you will learn to laugh at yourself, you will never run out of material. That's a wonderful thing. If you could just learn to not take yourself so seriously and be so sensitive all the time. Laugh at yourself. Man, that is such a wonderful thing to do. It's a healthy thing to do. You've heard the phrase, the family that prays together stays together. That's true. But you know just as much, I believe, the family that plays together also stays together. Some of you become real serious about God. You came tonight to hear something you probably don't want to hear. What you most need to hear is you need to relax and start having some fun again. You get the fact that life is serious. The stakes are sky high. But, you know, you maybe believe the Bible and you defend the Bible, but there's no joy in your life. There's no laughter in your life. And you've missed it. There's a connection between His Word, the Spirit He gives us, and our attitude, our mindset. And so please ask God to help you with this thing. Why? Because when you laugh, guess what? You have energy. It changes the room when you laugh. Have you noticed this? If you sit there and you refuse to laugh in church because you're not supposed to laugh in church, your energy hasn't changed at all. At least not in a good way. You begin to relax and laugh. You open yourself up to be authentic and just to laugh. All of a sudden, whoo, there's some healing that comes from that. That's a pretty healthy deal. And God's got this. It actually gives you energy in that way. So let me kind of tie a bow on this thing. We're going to look at the first part of the book of Daniel. There are some books you can get called the Daniel Plan that talk about how to eat and things like that. I'm just going to read a portion of the beginning of the book of Daniel because this is kind of the basis for the Daniel Plan that you can order online and look at if you'd like to do that to help you with your diet. But let me kind of just set up the story very quickly here where the book of Daniel is a wonderful book. How many of you were here when I did the book of Daniel, by the way? Remember that we actually had a lion on campus? We really did. We had a lion inside a little cage out here, and it was pretty crazy weekend, but we did do that. And amazing story, the book of Daniel, because the Persian Empire, basically that's Iran today. And so the Persian Empire had taken over the world, and the new king was a guy named Nebuchadnezzar. He took the entire Jewish race and he moved them to Babylon. They were captive for 70 years. While the Jewish nation is held captive there in Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar said, "Will you bring me the top guys from the Jewish nation? I'm gonna pour into them. I'm gonna use some of them, the top players. They're gonna join, be a part of my group. I'm gonna mentor them, and they'll be advisors for me in the future." And so they bring four guys to him. They pick out a guy named Daniel, and Hananiah, and Mishael, and Azariah. They gave them Babylonian names: Belteshazzar, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Okay? Now, one of the perks of being in the king's mentoring program is you got to eat the king's food and drink the king's wine. And so let's pick up the story in verse 5. This just kind of sets the page for us. It says this: "The king assigned them a daily ration of food and wine from his own kitchens. They were to be trained for 3 years, then they would enter the royal service. Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah were four of the young men chosen, all from the tribe of Judah. Daniel was determined not to defile himself by doing what? eating the food and the wine given to them by the king. So he asked the chief of staff for permission not to eat these unacceptable foods. He wanted a healthier diet. It says, now God had given this chief of staff both respect and affection for Daniel. But he responded, I'm afraid of my lord the king because he's ordered that you eat this food and his wine. If you become pale and thin compared to the other interns your own age, I'm afraid the king is going to like take me out. I might lose my head, literally. I might be beheaded if this happens. So Daniel said, hey, you know what? Can I lay down a challenge? Here's a challenge. Verse 12. Please test us for 10 days on a diet of what? Sound good? 10 days. Vegetable and water. Daniel said at the end of the 10 days, let's just see how we look compared to the other young men who are eating the king's food. And then make your decision in light of what you see. The attendant agreed to Daniel's suggestion, and he tested them for 10 days. At the end of the 10 days, Daniel and his three friends looked healthier and better nourished than the young men who had been eating and the food assigned by the king. And after that, then, the attendant fed them only vegetables instead of the food and the wine provided for others. Who is going to be at a Super Bowl party tomorrow? You need to change your shopping list. Vegetables and water for the Super Bowl. Not in my house. So day one of the steps to a healthy life begins on Monday. Can I get a witness in the house? All right. Now, you know, you may do vegetables and fruit, water. Talk to your doc about it before you do something like this. But there is something to this. There's something to this. Okay? As you pray about this. Might be a bad thing to do, okay? To begin to think about at least being serious about what's going on inside of you. We mentioned having fun in church. Raise your hand if you have a football jersey on. Some of you are going, I notice that's just messed up. You come to church in a football jersey, really? That's not very respectable. I don't think it's respectable. It's not reverent. Okay, I'm not offended by it, but you just make sure you don't leave before the end of the service. That's all I'm saying. Have some fun, okay? We're going to have some fun at the end of the service. Is that okay? One okay. There's one more passage. It's a question I want to end with. I want you to ask God this question during communion. There was a blind man, our fellow who'd been a paraplegic, for 38 years. He comes to be healed by Jesus, and Jesus asks a question, would you like to get well? And is that insulting? 38 years. And Jesus says, would you like to get well? That's my question for you tonight. The area you've identified where you need to become healthier, do you really want to get well? Do you really? What do you want to be 40 days from now, or 41 days from now, or 42 days from now, a year from now, physically, financially, relationally, spiritually, where do you want to be? Tonight, now we're going to move into the eating portion of our service. It's called communion, where we literally take something into our bodies. And so if you're a follower of Christ, take the bread as it is passed. It reminds us of the body of Jesus Christ. Sacrificed on the cross. Take the fruit of the vine and hold that. Reminds us of the blood of Christ. Sacrificed to say, I love you this much. To die for our bodies and for our sin. We'll partake in unison. And the truth is, in this time, as God nurtures us spiritually, begin to ask God to help you be wise in regard to the choices of your life in those areas that we mentioned. The physical and the other areas of life. Because our goal is, in these days, I just pray right now you will be dead, level, and open with God in these moments with God. God, because you know what it is in your mind right now, it needs to change. God, in that area of my mind, you make me healthy. My attitude, God, It's got to get better. God, give me a healthy attitude. God, my habits of, it's not acceptable. Help me to develop healthy habits and a healthy heart for the glory of God. Then next week we'll talk about six principles right out of the scripture that really are the key to lasting change. Whatever area that God's going to change in your life in these 40 days. So let's pray right now. Kind Father, thank you that you love us just the way we are, but you love us too much to let us stay that way. And God, we do want to come clean right now. You already know what we know is the area where we most need to become healthier. And maybe in the physical body. Some already, it's kind of their A game, but they have issues in regard to their attitude, their habits, their words, their relationships. God, wherever we know we're broken, that we're not well, because I believe with all of my heart, every person in this room, there's some hurts, there's some hang-ups, or there's some habits that are keeping them from being the healthy person you want them to be. It's probably because we are still trying to manage it with our will. And it just never is going to work. Help us to begin that surrender to you right now. And we will go home and circle this date on the calendar. Circle Monday on the calendar. As we start this 40 days to a healthier life, and we talk about the components, setting goals and prioritizing our relationships and our faith, our worship, our choices. God, would you make us healthy in this day and in these days, not for us, but to honor you. And the benefit is you also allow us to enjoy the health you want us to have. So as we remember the sacrifice of Christ in his body, we celebrate together and take these emblems together. We unite our hearts in the whatever area of our brokenness we bring to you tonight. May you begin to heal us in a few days from now, a few months from now, a year from now. God, I just pray we'll look back on this night or this day. God, this moment of worship right now will be the beginning of lasting change, the one we've always wanted. And many have given up. But you've told us tonight, not in your power, no. By my power and my spirit, says the Lord. Help us begin to totally surrender every area of our life so that we might be the healthy people who can be used the way you most want to use us now until we are with you and have that perfect body in heaven. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.